Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we've got one of my favorite guests, Jen Collins, on. And one of the great things about radio is that we can talk with people all over the country, and she lives up in Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh. And Jen, first of all, it's great to have you back on Hope Is Here. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've got a great blog, lifeconfetti.blog, and you send out an email whenever you post a blog on your website. And you have one that I just love the title of it. It says, "I didn't get it." And I find myself, as I'm getting older, saying that quite often about, I didn't get that back several years ago, but now I do. And
right.
I love the post that you, the scripture that you have with that blog post. You said, "Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand,' in John chapter 13, verse 7. But it just tied in so perfectly with that post about your dad. Can you share that with us, please, that blog post?
Sure. You said it's called "I Didn't Get It." I have been through some stuff, some big stuff. At the time, I was angry and sad and frustrated. I remember when my dad was sick. He had so many health problems, and he suffered so much. He got hit by one thing after another, and although he remained positive and upbeat, I didn't think it was fair. If there was a purpose in everything, what could possibly be God's purpose in that? Years later, on the way home from the cancer center, the day Mike and I found out my cancer had spread and I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, that was when it hit me. I was angry when I walked out that door. I did everything the doctors told me to do. I was supposed to be done with cancer. My doctor declared me 2 years cancer-free not long ago. Then this. I sat in silence on the way home, stunned silence. I prayed for God to give me the strength to deal with this again. Then, in the middle of the prayer, I got angry again. I started down that road of why me. I can't quite explain it, but suddenly there was a thought of why not me. I realized in that moment that I was more equipped than most to deal with that diagnosis. I had the world's most wonderful support system, and I had the best role model. My dad already showed me how to do this. I couldn't have had a better teacher. So in the middle of that prayer, I changed my whole perspective. Maybe I was going through this so I could teach someone else, like my dad taught me. As scared as I was humbled that God chose me for the task. So as a young adult, I didn't understand why my God would let my dad suffer. I still wish he didn't have to go through so much, but I was comforted by the thought that all of that served a purpose. It always does. Even the hardest of circumstances has a purpose. It doesn't make it easier when we are in the middle of the storm, but it can help us right our sails and push through. We may never know what the purpose might be, but we can rest that it is a good one. God is good all the time, even in the middle of our messes. I still don't understand why things happen the way they do, why bad things happen to good people, and why so much suffering happens in this world. But in my dad's suffering, I learned how to hold on to hope, how to find joy in the pain, how to live well. I was better equipped to deal with my circumstances after watching him. And in my own suffering, my relationship with God deepened. I didn't get it back then, but now I read John 13:7, and I get it now. We won't know how all the pieces fit together, but we can rest in the fact that they do.
Amen. That is so powerful. And John 13:7, if you just tuned in, said, was when Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And as you know, we're sharing that powerful blog post that you wrote a few weeks ago. You know, you talked about what your dad was going through. And I think so many times as parents, people don't realize that the ripple effect it has on their kids, both the good and the bad. But in this case, while your dad's suffering, little did he know that he was preparing you for what you were going to be dealing with cancer. So to all the parents listening out there, as the old saying goes, sometimes more is caught than taught, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're always watching. And like I said, I didn't know it back then. I was just angry that my dad was sick and that my dad was my biggest cheerleader, my best friend, and just to watch him go through all that, it just didn't make any sense. And he just kept getting hit with one health problem after another. And it just, you know, it was hard to watch. But through that, I watched him. He was just so joyful. Even when he was in pain, he was still helping others. He started his garden again. He started cooking big meals for our family, and he loved to read. He loved to sit out on the porch in the rain. or when there were thunderstorms. And so he just started, I really feel like when I was growing up, my dad worked so hard, and then when he got sick, that's when he started living. And I got to see that too. So I got to see my dad. My dad had every reason to curl up on the couch and just be miserable and sad and angry, but he wasn't. So I really feel like watching him go through all of that the way he did was, it just taught me how I was to do this now, because I could do the same thing. I could curl up on the couch too, but I don't. So I'm just grateful for that. As awful as that sounds, I'm grateful for the lesson that I learned through that.
Well, it was a very, very powerful lesson, as you shared in that beautiful blog, I Didn't Get It. We're talking with Jen Collins. She is a tremendous writer. She has a blog called LifeConfetti.blog. That's LifeConfetti.blog. She's been diagnosed with cancer herself. In fact, it's in stage 4. And yet, while your dad's suffering, when you were diagnosed with that stage 4 cancer, you know, I love that you're so transparent. You said that you were angry when you walked out that door. And, I mean, anybody gets that news would be. But then as you're processing and praying it to God, all of a sudden you shared that he said to you, why not me? Talk to us a little bit about that, because, man, that sure is easier said than done.
It is, but, I mean, I walked out that door, and I really thought, okay, it's going to be something else. That shadow they saw is not going to be cancer. I did everything the doctors told me to do. And then when they said that it was stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, my breast cancer spread to my bones and my lungs, it was just like a kick in the gut. Like, what? Why is this happening? Why is God putting me through this again? And I couldn't even speak. It was just, that's why I said it was stunned silence. My husband and I just drove home, and it was just quiet, and I just was talking to God and kind of yelling at him in my head. And then, you know, you start to go down that why me, you know, what did I do? And then I just got this, you know, this sense of, well, why not you? I had a huge support system, my family, my friends. And I had the benefit of, you know, the wonderful role model of my dad. So it kind of made sense, and it all kind of came full circle. Like, okay, well, look what my dad did for me. He helped me. He showed me how to do this. He showed me how to not give in to all the bad stuff and to keep looking for the joy in this world. And maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, too. Maybe he gave me this so that I can be that example for someone else. God forbid, I don't want it to be my children, but maybe somebody else will see the way I handle things, and maybe they will look to God and look for joy too, instead of just kind of crumpling under the bad stuff. Because there's a lot of bad stuff, but there's still a lot of good in this world.
Well, the ripple effect of your dad's life is just huge, and for parents and grandparents listening out there, I hope you're encouraged and reminded that your kids, your grandkids are always watching. And I remember a time my dad had a situation with a business dealing where somebody really just treated him unfairly. I mean, it was wrong. And yet, I remember a few weeks later, I asked him how he was doing. He said, I'm fine. And I looked at him, I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, I'm not.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. He said, well, son, he said, you need to move on. You need to pray for this person. And I looked at him. He said, son, that's what I've been doing. I've been praying for the good Lord to bless him and his family. And I said, are you serious? And he goes, well, of course I have. He said, that's what the Bible says, to bless those and pray for those who persecute you.
Absolutely. Yep. It's not easy, but it is what we're called to do.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, we hear things on Sunday mornings, churches and sermons and things, but I think our faith becomes real when we have to live it out, even when it's not fun, when it's like that with my dad being persecuted, humiliated at work, or with this major health challenge that you've had. And your faith becomes real when you hear the words, I'm sorry, but it's cancer, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's when you have to hold on. It's easy to have faith in God when everything's going well. But it's when things aren't going so well that your faith matters so much more.
Well, one of the things I love that you have done is you've been dealing with cancer. Talk a little bit about those confetti bags that you started putting together. I think it's been over a year since you shared about that. I just think that's so incredible that you're doing something to bless others, as the Bible talks about doing, even though you're in the midst of dealing with cancer yourself.
I am, but right now I'm doing well, so I figure if I am doing well, then I am able to bless others. So each month I put together just little gift bags with different items, sometimes comfort items, sometimes fun items, things to just, you know, lift the spirits of other cancer patients, and just drop them off at my local cancer center. And over the time, I've been doing this for a few years now, and I have a lot of friends and people who are constantly coming up and saying, hey, can I help you with those? And they'll donate items or ask to take to go get some things, or they'll donate, even giving me cash just to go get things for the bags. One time my church family, we put together bags with Bibles in them. So that was around Easter time. So it's just different things, whatever, you know, whatever I find or whatever God's put on my heart to put in those bags. But just something that I feel I can give back for this time that I have, where, you know, things are going okay right now. So,
well, I think it's a great example. If people want to find out more about that and think maybe they want to do that locally, I know you live up in Pennsylvania, but tell us about your website and what's on there and what people can find out about. And also, if they want to you know, say, hey, I'd like to get that monthly email that you send out when you send out a blog post, because I know how much they have blessed me, share a little bit about your website, please.
Well, the website is lifeconfetti.blog. I do post as often as I can, and then every week, it's actually weekly, I send out a newsletter on Monday mornings. And if anyone wants to subscribe, they just jump on the website, and then on the sidebar, they can sign up for both notifications when new posts go out, and then also sign up for the weekly newsletter. And all the information is on the website.
Well, there's just so many great blog posts that you have posted over the past year. I love so many of the titles on there. You have one called Peace, Not Pride, which kind of stung me a little bit. And you talked about having faith in one of the other ones that you talked about, how much, you know, it's easy to have faith when we don't, you know, don't want to extend it to others or in our situation, but how you trust in God. Another one was called Take a Second. Quiet, Please. I love that. And I don't think you'd ever done any like this before, had you? Writing like blog posts and things? I mean, you started doing cancer, right?
Yeah, I own child care centers. My career was in early childhood education, but when I got sick, I had to give that up. And I've always enjoyed writing, so it was just something I started doing when I had more time, and it just grew from there.
Well, it's one of those things that I'm glad that people pushed you to do it. And I know even getting talking on the radio is even a little bit out of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But you always make it easy.
Well, I appreciate that, and I love having you as a guest. I believe this is our third time now over the past year and a half, because, I mean, it's one thing to talk the talk, but you are walking the walk. And so we really appreciate you being a guest so often. But could you stay with us for one more program?
Sure.
All right. Well, we're talking with Jen Collins, just a courageous lady. She's in stage 4 of breast cancer right now, but Dan is just courageously fighting through that and trusting God and being a great mom and a great wife and trying to bless others with her Life Confetti bag. So, but I hope that you will check out her website, lifeconfetti.blog, and give her your email so you can receive these posts that she sends out a couple times a month, sometimes more. I know you'll be blessed like me. So tune in tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Jen Collins on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.